Good morning, everyone. It's not a lot of room on this table. Happy Father's Day to all of the fathers out there. Tupper's away this week, and he asked me to fill in for him. And it seems that I'm slowly becoming the Father's Day preacher because last Father's Day I also preached. But I'm happy to be up here today and talk about our Heavenly Father. I'd first like to introduce myself to anybody who does not know me. My name is Mike Healy. I am a member here at Mountain View Community Church. I've been here since I was 10. Before that, I was in Riverside, California, where I also attended a Free Methodist Church. Normally, I would be up in the sound booth, so that's where I like to serve. So if you've ever gotten anything out of Tupper's sermons, it's probably because he sounded great. So you can thank the sound booth guys later. I want to start today with a testimony. Like I said, I've kind of always been a Christian. I was raised in the church, and there's not one key moment that I can think about that I was a non-believer to a believer. But I've been rethinking about it, and there is a pivotal moment where God called me back and changed my life. It was about 5 years ago. I was on a road to seeking success. I took a job, and it was something that I thought I could be successful at, and I really worked hard towards it, where I put all of that in front of God. My priorities were not set up straight. I was following the advice that I'd hear from podcasts. They'd say, you need to crush it. Put in those long hours. You can sleep when you're dead. And I was justifying it, saying, I'm providing for the family. I was doing everything in my power to become great, all while putting my work in front of God. I didn't really have a relationship with him anymore like I used to. And it's because I wasn't spending time with him. And because of that, my success never came. What I worked so hard towards never happened, but God started to call me back and work inside of me to set my priorities in the right order again. I need encouragement every day to not slip into my old habits and make sure that I keep God at the top of my priority list. So today I'd like to give you 7 ways to spend time with God about what you can apply this week. You can do one every day. Most of these you probably already heard of, but just like I need the reminder, I hope it can encourage you as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to speak to your people today. I pray that you work through me, through the words I'm saying, through the message I prepared. These are your words, your scripture, and I just hope that it reaches somebody that might be struggling with something, somebody that struggles with stuff that I struggle with, and I just pray that this message changes people's thoughts and opinions and lives and looks towards you. Amen. So if you're not already there, if you could turn to Joshua 1. I'm going to be preaching on 7 through 9. Some context for today's main message. The Israelites have just come through 40 years of wandering in the wilderness after being freed from slavery in Egypt. Their leader, Moses, just passed away, and Joshua, who is his trusted assistant, has been called to step up and lead the people to claim the land God promised them. In what we're about to read, God reminds Joshua that success won't come from his own strength or plans, but from being courageous, obedient, and deeply rooted in God's guidance. It's a call to trust completely, even when the path ahead feels intimidating. So Joshua 1:7. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you whenever you go. Just like Joshua, we all face moments where we have to step into unknown territory, whether it's a new job, a difficult relationship, or a challenge in our faith. These moments can feel overwhelming and scary, but God's encouragement to Joshua is for all of us to be strong, courageous, and rooted in his word. This passage is the foundation to ways that we can spend time with God. The first one is reading and meditating on God's word. Today's scripture says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. In biblical times, especially in Jewish culture, reciting and memorizing scripture was a central part of life and worship. Yesterday, my family and I went to Knoebels, and we've been there, you know, every year, dozens of times. And before we went, you know, I don't know about you guys, but even if I've been somewhere plenty of times, I still put it in my GPS. I just always rely on that. I think it's like a crutch. And but this time I told my wife, I said, no, we're going to actually go there. We know the directions and we made it. That's exactly what God wants us to do when it comes to his word. When he told Joshua to meditate on it day and night, it wasn't just about reading. It was about letting it sink in. Scripture is just like directions on your GPS. And when you internalize it, you don't have to fumble around unsure of yourself. You don't freeze up when things get hard. You already know how to handle it. God's truth is already in you, guiding you. It becomes a part of you. And that's the kind of strength and clarity God wanted Joshua to live from. For each point that I have today, I have scriptures that support it that you try to internalize as you hear them. Psalm 1:1-2. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. So what's one verse that you can think about during the week that you can meditate on? The second one is prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18 says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Pastor Tupper has been letting us know that during his new series, he's going to be introducing a longer extended prayer time. And I think this is a great opportunity for us to start practicing together. Now, I'll be honest, I'm not a good prayer, at least by my standards. Maybe you feel the same way. You know, you start speaking out loud, you get anxious, it feels like a performance. But we have to remind ourselves why we're praying. We pray because it connects us to God. It's not about saying the right words or getting it perfect. It's about relationship. God doesn't need to hear from us because he's lacking something. He wants to hear from us because he loves us, and he wants to draw near. A while back, I picked up these postcards. There's probably 100, 150 of them, and they're all from like the 50s and 60s. I think they're really cool. They're all from the same person writing to a wife and a daughter. And I just thought it was cool, but it kind of reminded me of, as I read through them, that prayer doesn't always need to be long. Some of these are paragraphs talking about their day, talking about where they've been. But some are just, I hope all is well. Thinking about you, miss you. And that's like prayer. It's not always about the length. It's about love. Whether you pray a long prayer or just whisper, God, I need you, he hears it and he's with you. Philippians 4:6-7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The third one is resting in his presence, stillness and silence. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Be still. This is one of those verses that look nice stitched on a pillow or on a nice Instagram post, but there's so much more to that. One thing that I'm definitely not good at is stillness. I always have to be working on something. My wife will sometimes ask me to sit down and talk to her, and sometimes if we're not doing anything, I get antsy and I need to be going and doing something. I like being busy. A quote from a speaker and pastor, Ian Simpkins, says, "If busyness is your drug, rest will feel like stress." I like loud music. I like fast music. Actually, I have a clip of what I was doing on my Friday. I filmed this. This is a concert that I was at. This is the environment that I like. Chaos, jumping, crowd surfing. So stillness is not for me. Why does God want us to be still? When God says, "Be still and know that I am God," he's inviting us to pause and trust him amid the chaos of life. It's not about being quiet all the time. It's about finding a moment of peace within the noise. For me, I love punk rock and high energy concerts. Those moments are full of passion, intensity, and raw emotion. But even in the middle of that energy, there's a place where I can be still in my heart and remember God's presence. Jesus was on earth to dwell with us and to be with us and do the things that we love. Maybe he'd be crowd surfing if he was here today. Being still doesn't mean we have to give up what we love or live quietly all the time. It means that no matter how loud or wild life gets, we can find a place inside us where we trust God completely. It's like the calm in the center of a storm. Number four is obedience and surrender. John 14:15. "If you love me, keep my commands." This verse is a perfect reminder, especially on Father's Day, what it means to lead and guide our children. As a dad, when I teach and discipline my kids, it's not because I want to control them or make their life harder, although they feel that. It's because I love them. I want them to be safe, to grow well, and to follow a path that leads to good things. The same way God tells us to keep his commands, not as a burden, but as a way to show our love for him. Loving God means wanting what's best for him and for our lives. And that means trusting his guidance. Just like a father disciplining his children out of love, God's commands are for our good. They help us live with purpose, joy, and peace. I'm not sure which TV dad that I heard this from first, but the saying, "This is going to hurt me more than it hurts you," I could definitely feel that in our house when it comes to disciplining. If my children would only surrender under my loving guidance, their lives would be better. And that's how I think God feels when he's teaching us ways that we don't want to hear sometimes. Romans 12:1 says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is true and proper worship." Number five, fellowship with other believers. Hebrews 10:24-25 says, "And let us consider how we spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." I can't remember where I heard this, but someone said to me, one of the reasons that I think people sometimes struggle with church is because they put too much pressure on church fulfilling their relationship with God. They're not doing it throughout the week. They rely on church to be the time they spend with him. Really, church should be, you should spend time throughout the week. And on Sunday morning, it should be a celebration with others on the times that you spent with him. Church isn't meant to be your only spiritual meal of the week, but rather a time of corporate worship and encouragement because you've already been walking with him. Daily time with God in prayer, scripture, worship, and obedience builds a relationship that fuels your Sunday rather than the other way around. And just like iron sharpens iron, maybe this week you can think about gathering with another believer for a walk or some coffee. Matthew 18:20, "For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them." Number six. Matthew 25:40, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Serving others in the name of Jesus is one of the real hands-on ways that you can spend time with God. When we help someone show kindness or go out of our way to help someone else, we're living out what Jesus taught. Those moments aren't just about being a good person. They're moments where we're actively walking with God, reflecting his love in practical ways. It also shifts our focus off of ourselves. When we serve without expecting anything back, it teaches us humility. It helps us grow. It reminds us that our time, energy, and resources can be used for something bigger than ourselves. And the more we do it, the more it shapes us. It pulls us closer to who God wants us to be and strengthens our connection with him along the way. In Galatians 5:13, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." And our last one is worship. Psalm 95, 1-7. "Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is great, is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people for his pasture, the flock under his care." What is worship? Is it just the songs we sing at church or in the car? No, worship is more than just singing. It's all these ways: praying, reading the Bible, serving others, obeying God, giving, and even being still with him. When we worship like this, we keep our hearts connected to God, no matter what life throws our way. We can even take a walk and enjoy God's creation. That is worship. When we worship, we remember who God really is: holy, powerful, loving, and we realign ourselves with him. Worship keeps us connected, focused, and strong for whatever road lies ahead. It's like the fuel that keeps us going when things get tough. In John 4:23-24, "Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and truth." As I close today, I want you to think about the seven ways that you can spend time with God this week. I know we're all busy, but it doesn't take that a lot of time for us to check in with him and listen to him for the directions of our life. And just like Joshua needed God's reminder to never stop meditating on his law, we should never stop internalizing God's word so that we can use it when times get hard or when others need our help. We know where to turn. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you because we want to spend time with you. We want the direction in our life to come from you. We don't want to rely on ourselves because we know that our ways are not the correct way and things might fall apart. Be with us this week and help to guide us to remember these simple ways we could spend time with you. Help bring people closer to us so that we can spread your word. We can share your love. In your name, amen.